They are an odd pair, to be sure. Maxime Bergeron, 15, long, sun-blonde hair, wispy thin, reserved. A high school student in Germany. Gilles Loisier, 83, Coke bottle lenses that double the size of his eyes, thin white hair, an exuberant character from northern New Brunswick. Thanks to a mutual musical friend, they were brought together a couple of summers ago in Montreal. The friend had heard that Maxime, in town visiting his grandmother, was an extraordinary violinist, and that he taught himself how to play some of the most complicated tunes of the legendary Quebecois fiddler, Tijan Carignon. Gilles was also in Montreal visiting his kids. He was Tijan Carignon's piano accompanist for more than 20 years. Ever since Carignon died in 1988, Gilles had been on a mission to get fiddlers to play his music, to make sure that Carignon's genius was never forgotten. That afternoon, two summers ago, Gilles sat down at a piano. Maxime picked up his violin. The teenager from Berlin and the old Acadian played Tijan Carignon tunes until they were panting. And a remarkable musical relationship was born. Here is David Gutnick's documentary, It Sounds Like the Fiddle is Laughing.
We meet in 2017. We get a room in McGill. It was a small room, quite stuffy. An old guy at the piano.
So I'll play two chords. Okay.
I tried one piano. Oh, terrible. Practice pianos are never really in tune. I'm just saying to myself, I wish it was a better piano, because me, I need to hear that sound.
Tune my violin.
We tune because we care. All set?
There's not much talking, really. Do you know this tune? Well, yeah, but I don't. Well, what can you play? And we start to playing various tunes. And the more we go, the better it gets. He's playing hard music. Music that other fiddlers will spend a lifetime and they'll never, never be able to play. And the more we go, I realize that it's Jean Carignon. I said, what I had to do is lay out an accompaniment that he can bank on.
I never play with pianists usually, and I never play with good pianists.
He realized that what he was hearing is Jean Carignon's pianist. And I played 20 years with Tijan Carignon, so I got to know that music. And when Maxime rose to that level, oh, I was happy. And all of a sudden, it just connected. Yeah, well, this piano is hard to play. I need a touch. So. I'm 81. He's 13. We are there in a McGill practice room. I mean, how odd is that?
It was something very special to me. It's once in a lifetime, I guess, that happens.
I didn't know if I ever would see Maxime again. When I was home in Trout Stream near Tracadie, New Brunswick, in the Acadian Peninsula, we lived in an old house, and my mom, she was the postmistress, so everybody came. And the old guys, and there was a chair in the kitchen, and, you know, they'd sit with the fiddle, or they'd sing, and this was the music. I thought, this is the world. And then when they took me to the School for the Blind in Montreal, I was 6 years old. So I was born in 1936, I guess 1942. And all of a sudden they said, oh, that music, oh, that's folk music, and it's all these people don't know. We're going to teach you the right way. And I thought, oh, well, okay. But I kept this old music. And then I was in Montreal and during Expo 67, and somebody said to me, well, you know, I got this job, you know, but I don't want to go, you know. It's this guy playing the fiddle. So it was during the Expo on one of the islands there, and I went there, and when I heard Kenya, oh, my goodness. I knew there were some people that could play like that, but not on that level. So afterwards, I said to Tijan, you know, I'm from down home. Oh, great. He says, I love the Acadians. Jean, I play the piano. Let's try a tune. And right away, I mean, that was it. It was love at first sight. My day job was tuning pianos at Place des Arts because I'd had training in New York with Steinway. But I preferred playing music. Maxim, this is a tune about a great castle, and it's a march. You know, that's what I say to him. So, da-ram, da-ra-dee-dee-dum, bum-bum-bum-dum. Let's play just a little bit of that march. Even just a little bit too fast. It's a great majestic march. Dum dum da da dee dee dum bum 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 dum da 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 dum bum bum. You have to own this music. It's the way it should be. I teach Maxim. It's a type of love and admiration. It's like I get so wrapped up in it that I forget where I am.
I was born in Berlin in 2004, and my dad's from Quebec and my mother's from Russia. And when I was 3.5 years old, they took me to a classical violin teacher. And when I was 6 years old and I could read sheet music, my dad bought me an Irish book, like Here's a Hornpipe, I learned from there. Then I got pretty obsessed with Tijan, but gradually. Like, first I got to know some of his recordings, then I learned some of his tunes. I went on YouTube and watched some of his videos, and gradually, yeah, I got obsessed. And at some point, I wanted to get my hair cut like him. After school, I'd get out my violin, turn on the computer, and I'd use a special program to slow down the records of Tijan. And then I'd listen to them carefully for all the details, all the ornamentation. Like, ya, ya, ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ya ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da. Without the ornaments first, and then I'd go, ba ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba da ba ba da ba da ba da. And then I'd raise the speed gradually until I got to the 100%.
Maxim has learned the sound of Jean Cunningham. It sounds like the fiddle is laughing. It's so wonderful. That's typically a Jean Cunningham bowing. He was absolutely bar none the best fiddler that ever lived. Maxim phones me because it's cheaper from Germany to Canada.
We talk about tunes and great recordings of tunes to listen to, about players that, as an example, Jean knew or played with.
I tell Maxim about ways to play the music and how to understand it and how to not play it so fast, because sometimes when he practices, holy smoke, I think the smoke is going to come out of the fiddle. I'll describe a certain tune and I'll say, Maxim, this is dance music originally, and Carignan played very fast, and sometimes, of course, you don't have to play it like Tijan played them. You gotta own the tune and play it yourself, because when you play it so fast, it becomes too mechanical and the feeling goes out of it.
No, I try to practice with the metronome to slow myself down, and I'm still working at it. I don't want to copy it, but I want to revive it because it's very strong. If I listen to a recording of one fiddler playing a tune and then him playing the same tune, I could recognize it because it's just a more powerful fiddle.
After the phone calls, I feel so happy. And then I fold my arms so it lasts. And so my brain has time to organize it and stow it away because it's precious. And also, it's useful.
Understand it, and after phone calls, I digest. We live so far apart, and that's why they're so long. Sometimes I almost want to laugh because it overjoys me. When I have my violin in my hands, it's like having a best friend right next to you, and you can play everything you want. When you're in a sad mood, you can play a slow air. When you're happy and you want to play dance music, you can play a reel or a hornpipe or a jig or whatever, and it helps me maybe get to know myself. It's almost as though Tijan Carignan is alive. I can't imagine a life without Jill, because first of all, he's a good pianist, but not only that, he helps me play the music. He's a support for this, and he's a transmitter between myself and my idol. And I guess you could say I have three parents, my mom and my dad, who help me in normal life, and Jill, who you can say is a musical parent, who lives it with me and who tells me about it.
I've lived on a farm, and the little calves, and your first day you put them in the pasture, they go completely crazy. And Maxim, he's like a young calf. He's got this energy, and I have to try and control it. I'm 83, and I'll keep playing till I can't play anymore. I have something to live for. It gives me great joy to be able to play with a guy like that. While I'm playing with Maxim, sometimes he will do a variation, that a little extra note that I haven't heard before. I just shiver and I get full of goosebumps and it spurs me on. If you try to describe it, it disappears. The space that this music creates is so, so beautiful. I'm gonna die, but the music won't die.
It's part of me. That's how music works.
It Sounds Like the Fiddle is Laughing was produced by David Gutnick. You're listening to the Sunday edition here on CBC Radio 1 across Canada and across the United States on Sirius XM Channel 169. I'm Michael Enright.